What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with your NXT AEW review. I know it's the timing's a little bit off. It's a little bit awkward. It's my wife's birthday today, so we got a lot going on here. So let's talk about WWE NXT to kick things off. We had a street fight, Legado del Fantasma, Breezango, and Isaiah Swerve Scott. They should really just call him Swerve Scott. This was a fun match. You got Imperium getting involved. I like this. It was fun, and they, you know, I came here week in, week out, complained about Breezango, about how they have been throttled so much that I can't see them as a legitimate act. They are not New Day. They aren't like 8-time former champions, so I didn't think they would get to that level. WWE and NXT fixed that. I don't know if they're going to be the greatest tag team champions we've ever seen in NXT, but they have made them more important to me. I do not know how I feel about Escobar getting pinned here when you've got the rest of Legado del Fantasma there. I hate it. I get it. It's important for Swerve Scott to maybe pin Escobar, but there's no protection for champions. It is so frustrating to just see this absence of protection for any champion in WWE, except for maybe one or two. Maybe one or two. I love the spot where we saw Breezango, I think it was Swerve and Fandango, jump off the forklift. Such a cool spot. I really liked it. And the past couple of weeks is the most I've enjoyed Breezango since the Fashion Files days. Candice LeRae defeated Casey Catanzaro. I think Casey Catanzaro has a lot of potential. There are some things like that I see, and I think that she could do better. Like, she's very, very small, obviously. So when she gets punched in the face and she's, like, giving you one of those looks like, okay, okay, like, giving you the Bret Hart versus 1-2-3 Kid in the corner look, I'm like, I don't know if that works for this situation. I don't know if really super tiny Casey Catanzaro giving you the okay, okay rookie look after getting hit works when you're in there with a veteran like Candice LeRae. But this match was fine. I think Candice LeRae sold too much. This is just the constant problem with WWE. The constant problem with WWE is the person who's supposed to be getting over does a ton of the selling, doesn't look dominant in any way. They look like they 50-50 with a person who is hardly ever on the show. It is very, very frustrating. And almost nobody gets over. 50-50 booking means more than just wins or losses. Candice and Tegan had cut promos, and they're going to try to make things work over dinner or something like that. I'm for this. We also see Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez promos. Rhea's is not as bad as recent weeks, but they're having a steel cage match next week. I am all for that. Timothy Thatcher defeated Bronson Reed via submission after Austin Theory interferes. This is good. I always am going to like Timothy Thatcher's work in this regard. I think that he's very good. I think that Bronson Reed is getting more interesting by the week. It would help a lot if they didn't nerf these people before they got their pushes, though. I think that's a big problem with NXT. Austin Theory coming out, you can tell he's ready to be back there, but he has been demoted, so to speak. He's not on the main roster anymore. He's been sent back down to NXT, and will have to work his way up. He was given a golden opportunity, and past actions or past alleged actions burned him. And they, if true, they should have. NXT Championship Fatal 4-Way 60-Minute Iron Man match. There was no winner. I had predicted ahead of this that it would be Balor and Cole in a tie, and that's what happened. And we're running it back next week. Singles match, Adam Cole, Finn Balor. I thought this was a bait and switch. This is Raw Light. Is what this is. I didn't think the match was outstanding. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was outstanding. I thought it was two people inside the ring, two people outside the ring. And then what you got was a one-on-one match at any given time where they took breaks and swapped in and rotated out. A Tower of Doom, woof. Lots of super kicks. Way too many super kicks for me. Way too many. This was okay. The 1916, I'm always going to love that move. The tornado DDT on the apron on the floor was really good. They had the benefit of taping this. They can work the clock any way they want. I really did like Finn Balor getting a pinfall and then Adam hitting the last shot to get the final pinfall with 1 second left. And we're setting up a match for next week. And okay, you can stretch it out, but you already had a 60-minute match with these guys. Okay. Well, that was NXT. So next week's show, Adam Cole, Finn Balor, NXT World Championship match, and they also have Rhea Ripley, Mercedes Martinez set for a cage match. I think those are both good additions, but not a ton to talk about on this week's NXT. Over on AEW, things were set up for the All Out Go Home show, and I'll have my predictions on Fightful.com. We had Best Friends versus Santana and Ortiz. Solid match. Santana and Ortiz win with a street sweeper. The brawl got started beforehand. I thought this would be an all-out match. I really did. Because it's been a pretty significant long-term feud for these two. I mean, they were feuding over a van at one point. But over Trent's mom's van. Santana and Ortiz get the win. And that's where we are with this tag division. Trent and Chuck seem like they had some momentum, but I'm not going to be mad at Santana and Ortiz, one of the best teams in the world, getting a win because they're one of the best teams in the world, and they haven't been treated like a best team in the world. They've been treated like lackeys in the inner circle for, gosh, the last year. I can't believe it's been a year now, but it's been a year. I loved the 8-man tag setup. Oh, you had Young Bucks and Jurassic Express defeating SCU and Private Party. And the winners would face each other at AEW All Out. And you know what I like so much about this? One, it adds stakes to the show. Two, it adds stakes to that match on Saturday. And it adds stakes to everything because constantly Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, other people, they would say, I think Schiavone was on commentary tonight. Doesn't matter. Somebody said it. They said, somebody's going to All Out and getting a payday, and somebody's not getting anything. That's what I like. You give me a reason beyond the records. The records matter, but you give me a reason beyond that to care about what's happening, and I appreciate that. The Young Bucks didn't want to tag in Jurassic Express, so they're going to be playing the heels this week. I kind of dig it. You got the Young Bucks. They're on the ascent again. And we're going to see him face FTR. We're going to see him probably end up having to face Omega and Paige. Or at least Paige in some capacity. So I like that they were very protective of themselves in this match. I really, really like that. Also, I kind of like the inexperience of Private Party being highlighted by commentary when I think it was Cassidy walked in front of the ref when Quinn was going for a pin. Thought that was really good stuff. And they highlighted it. Kenny Omega cuts a promo. FTR had been backstage with Tully Blanchard. And FTR, they mentioned that winning those titles will give them 7-figure incomes. I like it. I really like it. Omega says Paige is going to have to get rid of his boo-boo face and fight FTR. FTR wants to toast Omega, but Omega turns them down and curses at them. I'm not allowed to curse this month. Per terms. Paige comes out and FTR does not accept any responsibility for his behavior because they've known Hangman his entire career and he's always been insecure and he's always been an egomaniac. Things break down. We don't necessarily see like a big fight or anything. Just Paige and Omega trying to get on the same page here. No pun intended with that one. Orange Cassidy is told by Jake Hager he needs to come out for Jericho's match with Joey Janela. Jericho is backstage asking Alex Marvez when the last time he's ever done something for the first time and says the Mimosa Mayhem match is that. Jericho beats Janela, hits him with the Codebreaker and the Lion Tamer. I do like that he busts out some of the old moves, and I do love that he won with the Lion Tamer. Orange Cassidy attacks Joey Janela with a few more strikes, and Orange Cassidy makes the save. Jake Hager comes in, and I love that Sonny Kiss tried to make the save. I really, really like that. This made Sonny Kiss look good. Sonny Kiss flattened Chris Jericho, Hager laid out Sonny Kiss, but Sonny Kiss came out to help. He didn't just come out to help because his partner was out there. He came out to help because Orange Cassidy helped his partner. I dig that. We have Sammy coming out during the split screen showing some signs. Matt Hardy does the same. We have a really lame interrupting segment with Team Taz. You got Lance Archer and Jake Roberts. Jake Roberts is not a good manager. Sean Spears with Tully. And then you got Eddie Kingston with his crew. And Eddie's probably the best one here, although Taz, you know, is a great manager. This was not good. It was a brawl to set up the Casino Battle Royal. It just wasn't good. I did not enjoy it. I know what it was there for, but I did not like it. I didn't like it. I'll tell you what I did like. Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb. Serena, I was a little bit surprised to see brought in here. From what I understand, she had tried to get booked there before, but it didn't happen. But maybe that's just hearsay. I thought Serena Deeb physically looked like $1 million. In the ring, she looked really, really good. You couldn't tell that she hadn't wrestled in 3 years. And before that, she hadn't wrestled in 2 years. Overall, this was Serena's, I think, fourth or third match in the last 5 years. Yeah. In her last five matches, she's wrestled for TNA, WWE, and AEW. She doesn't wrestle a lot. Quite frankly, she's been out of action for 6 years. 6 years. Wow. And she's only 34. Just turned 34. So if I were Serena Deeb, I'd be expecting a call back after that performance. Thunder Rosa does what Thunder Rosa does. She looked great. My only issue was Thunder Rosa had Serena Deeb laid out and picked her up for the Thunder Driver off her back. You just take the pin there usually or tell them to sell over to their chest. But the Thunder Driver is such a great move. I really enjoy that. Thunder Rosa, just one of the best right now. You have Jon Moxley backstage. You've got Mark Sterling trying to avoid facing him. We'll get back to that in a bit. But Tony Schiavone is interviewing Big Swole in the crowd. Claims that Britt Baker's been ducking her and says that Britt will have nowhere to hide at All Out. Rebel comes out as a pizza delivery woman, and Baker attacks Swole from behind with a crutch, shoves her face into pizza after hitting her with a super kick, and then puts the lockjaw on. They are set for the buy-in. I can't believe that. This is Britt Baker's return match. Come on. They deserve better. Well, we do get Jon Moxley versus Mark Sterling. If you watch the Major Wrestling Figure podcast like I do, you like this. They put him in that bodysuit so he didn't look as jacked as he is. That's the sad reality. He avoids Jon Moxley over and over and over again. Moxley gets him in the ring, hits the paradigm shift. I thought this would have been a good opportunity to establish a secondary finisher for Jon Moxley. But Moxley picks up the win. Wardlow attacks him. And MJF beats the brakes off of him. MJF poses with the belt. I thought this was a strong angle because MJF really went at Moxley. If I am AEW, I am putting that world championship on MJF for multiple reasons. One, he's a star. Two, he can carry that company. And right now, the perception is that their singles titles have been held by ex-WWE guys, by a lot of people. MJF is not that. MJF has said that he wants to be with this company for decades. He signed a 5-year deal, for the love of God. He's the guy to hold that title. Also, when he wins it, I believe he's the youngest champion of all time. I know Brock was the youngest champion for a while, then it was Orton. I think Big Show was WCW's youngest champion at 27. But actually, now that I think of it, I think Randy Orton was a little bit younger. I think he was like maybe 75 days younger. They missed the boat. Oh, well. John Moxley was left in a bloody heap. This made for a great photo opportunity for MJF, as we saw. You got to do that. You got to brutalize him if you're MJF. You got to show that you're not just the heel, the cowardly heel, because he's not. He wins matches. That's my NXT AEW review. Either I will be on the post-show Saturday, or I'll be giving you all a post-show Saturday here on Select. One or the other. Still waiting to hear what AEW is going to do with media. Until next time, my friends. We're out.